Hi everyone, welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 308. The following class is from way back when, class number 3 actually, about the inner workings of the Jewish calendar. Listen to it and realize how slow I used to speak, but for this topic it's probably a good idea. Enjoy. Okay, I want to talk about a little bit of the practicality, the functions of how this works, and maybe we can come to understand as well one of the obviously simple questions that exist. Yesterday was the last day of Tishrei. Why in the world was it considered to be Rosh Chodesh? Okay, so here goes. If you think conceptually for a minute, what is time? What is time? Deep answer. I expect something that we're going to alternatively fit in 10 minutes is time is the measurement of change. Things change, and so that's how we count time. If things would not change, if everything would literally just be, you know, a rock in space, not moving, nothing happening, then time would be of no consequence. Time would not mean anything. So time is really just a measurement of change. So let's say me and you, we want to get together, and we want to be in a certain amount of time. It's not going to be now, but it's going to be tomorrow. How would we reference a particular time tomorrow? So, like, we could use things. We could use, a plant, a daffodil that's in front of us. A daffodil, when it gets to, like, this height, we'll get together. Good. But if the same daffodil is not in front of us, and two different daffodils are growing at different speeds, so it won't be a very accurate measurement. And what so people looked for throughout the ages were things that we could all agree on, timed events that we could all see, and so the where they obviously aimed was to the sky and celestial events. There are a bunch of things that are moving around up there, and before Netflix, and people have time to just, you know, sit at home and look at computers at night, before the advent of light bulbs, people are just essentially, people are stopping and just looking at the sky. And so people had a real grasp of what went on up there, what went on, and astronomy was extremely advanced. And so when we talk about counting time, we count our time to the movement of the moon, whereas, as we said yesterday, other cultures do it to the movement of the sun. Let's just explain for a second what that means. Moons have a cycle. The cycle is, you know, 29.5 days. It's not precisely 29.5. It's slightly less than that, actually. And the cycle of waxing and waning is that long. So every month after that 29.5 approximate day is a brand new moon. And so that's the month. What's a year? Honestly, the year is nothing. There is no such thing as a year when it comes to moons, but we sort of arbitrarily decide that after 12 of those things, and sometimes we add one for some reason we'll get to in a moment, then there's a 13th month, and we call that a year. Okay, no big deal. The sun, though, works very differently. The sun goes, the Earth takes 365 and a quarter days to go around the sun, and there's no magic to the month, right? There's nothing happening when the new month comes, when it's March 1st, when it's April 1st, when it's the Ides of March, right? Nothing is actually happening in the sky. There's no important point in the relationship between the sun and the earth, except on the equinox days and the solstice days. Every other day is just arbitrary. But we've chosen, as a society, to divide that into 12. And so the 365 days is divided into 12. Okay, so if you count by the sun, what you get is a year, and you can find where the sun is in the sky 365 and a quarter days later, to be exact, to where it was 365 and a quarter days previously. So the moon has months, the sun has years. Great. Now, our calendar is based on that moon. And the way that used to work is when that new moon was seen at night, when would it be seen? It would be seen after 29.5 days, the brand new moon would be seen. Somebody would see it at night, hopefully come to Bezin the very next morning, and they would declare it to be Rosh Chodesh. The trick is, every 29th day is obviously not Rosh Chodesh, because that's not yet the new moon. That half day is the problem, and that half day causes a lot of trouble, because you can't start the next month in the middle of a day. So it's going to have to be whole days that make up months. So imagine the following scenario. Let's imagine things start in the beginning of month one. And so the moon is visible now, and it then waxes, and then it wanes, and then finally it's visible again 29.5 days later. That means halfway through the 30th day, the new moon was seen. And so day 30 now is technically Rosh Chodesh of the next month. And that night, the moon would finally be visible, and that night, which would be the night after the 30th day, the 31st, we would know for sure that that very next day is to be the first day of the
next
month. But the day before was the 30th day of the of first month, and that 30th day was actually when Rosh Chodesh happened. And so because of the difficulty of this sort of 29 and a half problem, where you could actually have Rosh Chodesh which occurs but is not called sometime, you can have a phenomenon of a two-day Rosh Chodesh, where technically the day began as the last day of the previous month. Rosh Chodesh, the brand new moon, was sighted on that day, on that 30th day, after the 29.5 days, but wasn't able to be called as Rosh Chodesh until the very next day, which is then Rosh Chodesh, technically, and the day before is Rosh Chodesh, actually, because that's when the new moon was. Traditionally, the months alternate. So one, in order to balance this out, especially in our non-organic calendar, which is not decided from month to month based on the testimony of witnesses who are walking in, it's set up perpetually. So one month is 29 days, and one month is 30 days, and one month is 29 days, etc. And so the 30-day months, that 30th day is always going to be considered Rosh Chodesh for that same reason I mentioned before, because invariably the new moon will have appeared on that day, but would not have been visible and witnessable until that night. And so Rosh Chodesh in those extended months is going to be a two-day process. That's what we have, and that's how our calendar works. The other important element to know about our calendar is that if you take 29.5 and multiply it by 12, you come out with 354 days. And so there are 354 days in the lunar calendar. Now that is pretty cool, and that's actually how the Islamic calendar works. There are 354 days. Yes, it's 11 days shorter than the 365-day solar calendar, but it's no big deal, except imagine what happens. Pesach is 1 year on May 29th. That's pretty late for Pesach, but it's on May 29th. The next year, when is it? It's on May 18th. The year after that, it's on May 7th. The year after that, it's in April. Then it progressively moves 11 days earlier and earlier every single year until Pesach is, oh my gosh, it's during, you know, I don't know, the holiday season, and you're shopping for Thanksgiving, and you're buying matzo balls. And it's not okay, because the Torah says Shemar es Chodesh Ha'aviv. The Torah tells us that Pesach is actually supposed to be in spring, which means, and because of that, we end up tying the lunar calendar to the solar calendar. And so we make adjustments where we add, because of the 11 days, we add about a month every 3 years. It's not exactly a month, and I'll get to that in a second, but about a month every 3 years, and that we know as Adar Bet. That's the second month that comes up in 7 out of 19 years. And here's what that does. Every 2 or 3 years, you end up having a month that pushes everything back, and so we start the process of, you know, climbing up that that well and then slipping back 11 days every year, and then climbing up and then slipping back. The reason it's 7 out of 19 is actually fascinating. There's a 19-year cycle, the Metonic cycle, where, if I'm not mistaken, it's 235 lunar months. 235 lunar months equal precisely 19 solar years. So that means every 19 years, if you count out 235 months, then you will have a perfect, everything will be in perfect accord. Everything will match. So what we need to do is put 235 Jewish lunar months into those 19 years. How do we do that? So we're 7 short, because 12 times 19 equals 228. And so 228 is what we have. We need to add another 7 to find that cycle and come out perfectly. That's the reason that your Hebrew birthday and your English birthday will be the same, and then 19 years later will be different. Now, sometimes it could be off a day, but that's a whole other 10 minutes that you do not want to hear. But generally, 19 years is that cycle where we catch up and all of the process starts again. Now, it isn't exactly precise. Some time is lost over the course of hundreds of years, but that's essentially how it works. We have 1 day or 2 days Rosh Chodesh based on the 29.5 problem, and based on the problem of only adding up 354 days a year and being 11 short, we have to add the leap month of Adar Sheni. Hope you enjoyed. Hope it was informative. Have a great day.